Hello, I'm Andrew Davey. Thanks for tuning in to this session about Postal. Postal is a free open source library that makes generating emails simple by leveraging the existing MVC view engine infrastructure. So most web apps these days need to send email, and .NET provides a nice API to handle this. But the problem is that when you need to actually generate the content of the email, you're kind of left to your own devices, and I used to end up just making a bunch of string mess in my code. And this only got worse when I had to start doing HTML formats as well. So I created this library called Postal, which just provides an elegant way to generate email and maintains the clean separation of concerns that we've got used to with MVC. Now in this session, I'm going to introduce Postal, show how to use the basics of it, and then assuming that all goes fine, we're going to jump into some more advanced stuff as well. I'm currently hanging out in the IRC chat room for room one, so if you have any questions, probably best to drop them in there. I'm also on Twitter as well. There's some links here as well to the homepage and the code. Okay, so let's make a start. For this session, we're going to use this kind of demo example of a form. So let's say we've got a web page or a website and our user is using it but gets stuck and wants to raise some kind of support ticket. So when that happens, we want to then send an email to an admin user who can then hopefully follow up and help the user. So we'll just give this a quick go. Press send and it's saying the message has been sent. Let's take a look at the code for that quickly. So this here is how you would create this kind of sending email form without using Postal, just using the standard .NET APIs. So you see we've got a controller with an action method, and then we're receiving a help request. So we have our basic kind of model there. And then we're creating a client and a message, adding a bunch of stuff to it, and then we hit this line. Now this is not the kind of code I want to see in my controllers, my actions at all. No matter how you slice it, whether you're going to use concatenation or string format, it's just not particularly good. So let's see how Postal can make that a lot easier. Also in this presentation, rather than actually sending emails with this send here, we're going to be capturing them and saving them to disk. So let's take a look. This is what's been generated when I press send. So we see here, this is the content of the email, as expected. So let's now see how we can do this using Postal to clean up this code. Here we have the exact same form as before, which we can fill in and press send on. And we're told it's been sent, and it has indeed generated another email for us. But let's look at how Postal is working. So that form is going to a different controller, this one here. Now in my project, I've already added a reference to Postal. So we see we've got using Postal here, and in our references we have Postal. Postal is available via NuGet, so you can add a library package reference, go to online and search for Postal, and you'll get the most recent version appearing. Let's see how we now use Postal to send emails. So the first line we have here is this creating an email object. And we're passing in the name of a view. So let's take a look at that view. By convention, Postal places all emails in this emails folder inside views. So we can look at help request. So this here is the same text that we used to have in our old controller, what we had here. We can now put it into here instead, and we're using a Razor view, but you can actually use any view engine you like that's supported by MVC. But we're using Razor because Razor is awesome, as Shay's poll just showed. So we've got the body of the email and also the headers. I'll come back to why these are here in a minute. So we've created our email object and we've assigned it to this dynamically typed email variable. And the reason for this is I wanted Postal, in at least in its sort of main use, to be as simple and lightweight as possible. So you haven't got to create some kind of extra class to send or some extra model to send to the view. You can just use it dynamically, treating this email as a view bag. So rather than an email containing, like say mail message does, containing a to, a from, and a body and a subject, instead the email is really a view bag which you can put any data you want in. And then when we finally send, it's going to package all that into view data for the view. So that's why these properties here are then appearing in here in our view. You see it's still a regular view, so you get your standard helpers you can use. So we're generating a URL here. So now coming back to these headers. Postal lets you put the headers into the view itself. There's a couple of reasons for this. One, it lets me use the model data in the subject line still, which I think is pretty handy. And also, I don't necessarily think that a controller should be concerned with all the minutiae of what actually goes into the email in terms of the headers. I think it's actually quite a nice separation to say that we're going to put all the headers and noise about the email into the email view, and just let the controller action focus on the actual data instead. So we'll just follow up with this send line. Excuse me. So when we say send, this is where everything happens. Up until this point, we're just building up a view bag of data. But once we say send, Postal is going to do a number of things for us. It's going to go out and render the view. It's going to call this, pass the data in, and get back the text that's generated. It's then going to parse that output text and create for you a mail message. So that's your standard mail message, just like we would have had before. So it builds up a mail message using that, assigns all the headers to that. And it then creates an SMTP client to send the message, and it's done. So that's the absolute most basic way to use Postal. So at this point, I should probably take a quick break and see if there's any questions or any misunderstandings I can clear up before moving on. So you can either drop them into the IRC channel. Oh, I see there's a couple in here as well. Okay, I'll address these first. Okay, so first question here is from Mike, saying, what program am I using to intercept the outgoing email? Great question, let's see how we do that. It's a really handy tip. It's really simple. The SMTP client, when you just create one up without any settings, it will read its settings from your config. So if we look at web config, see, we've got this section here, and so I've changed the delivery method, which is usually network, I believe. Yeah, so it's usually network. I've changed it to specify pickup directory, and I've provided a path there. So now whenever it sends email, it just writes to this folder instead. So this is a really handy way to test email, rather than actually spamming your inbox hundreds of times. Also, a quick note, if you're using .NET 4 with this method, you must still specify this line. If you leave this line out, you'll get some weird error saying could not find the network or something. So just put that in with localhost and it'll work fine, it won't send anything. And then when you switch to production, you would change all this config out and specify your proper settings in here. So that's how we do that. See the next question. Manuel Castro is asking, can I use a plain text view and an HTML view on a single email? Yes, you can. I will come back to that later on. It's a very common use, but I'll come back to that in a moment. Just going to check the IRC. Someone's asking, Wolfbyte's asking, can the new email call infer the view name from the action in some way, the way MVC can? So I guess Wolfbyte's asking if this could infer. It can't at the moment infer that. It's something we could potentially look into. There is some name inference later that I can show you, but for now it can't do that. Testing. I would hope that you've all been screaming at your screen saying, we can't test this controller, it's not well written. At the minute, if you try to unit test this action, try to call it from your unit test, you'd be sending email, which probably isn't what you want to actually have happen. So let's see how we can change that. The main problem was that we were saying we had a line that said email.send, and that behind the scenes just sent the email, and we couldn't really intercept that. So as an alternative, Postal gives you this interface called iEmailService. So then what we've done is we've created a controller which takes a dependency on this, and then in our action method now, we create the email exactly as before, but now rather than call send on the email, we're going to indirectly send what we're going to send using the email service instead. So let's see how we can test that. So here we have a really simple nUnit test, and I'm going to use mockU to mock out the email service. So these two lines, create the email service mock and a controller. And then whenever we send email, we're going to just grab the email object with that bit of mock setup there. This line then actually invokes the action method. And then after that's run, we then assert that the email was sent, and we can also check that the right data was assigned to it as well. Again, this gets back to this separation of the actual email object. It's just the data, it's not the end result of the email, because it's more important at this stage to verify that you've got the right property set in there and not that you've got this great big chunk of text. So we can run this and we see it's passed the test, and if we check our folder we see that we haven't got any extra emails generated, so that's worked. Okay, so next up, the dynamic static debate. We see that at the minute we're using this email object dynamically, and not everyone likes doing that. It means if I make a typo in here, then you're going to get things breaking at runtime. So the alternative would be to create a strongly typed view model effectively, which defines the properties we want. So let's have a look how we can do that. What I've done here is I've created a new class which derives from email. I've given it a name, and I've set the properties that I want that to have. And then it's as simple as creating an instance of that, assigning the properties and calling send, and everything works as before. And obviously we get telesends, and if we type something wrong now, then we're going to get a compile error. Now, we're not specifying the name of the view here, and this gets back to it being what I said before about deriving. What Postal is going to do is it's going to chop off email and then look for a view that's called strong help request in the usual place. So if we look in our views emails folder, there's a view here called strong help request. And this view is practically the same as what we had before. The only real addition is this line at the top specifying the model type. And that's the model which we defined here. And now we're getting, hopefully you can see the tooltips in the recording, we're getting IntelliSense popping up. So then when we dot, we get all our properties we've defined. I'll just make sure that that still works. Just fill in form again, press send. So here's our new email. And we can see that it's been generated with the same data, but now we see it's coming from the strongly typed model instead. So I think it's kind of a matter of preference, really, whether you use dynamic or a static class. If, in my opinion, if I've got an action, which is if I've got an email which I'm only sending from one place, I don't see an awful lot of benefit in having to write a whole other class. It's just like a whole bunch of lines of code I have to write when I don't really think it adds too much, especially when you've got a unit test, which is checking the properties have got the right values. So if you did make a typo, your unit test would still catch that you'd mistyped something. But it's up to you, you can do it either way. Also, if you wanted to name your view something else than the standard convention gives you, there's a different constructor on the base you can call. So by default, it does this. It derives a name, but there's an overload which will let you specify the name of your view. And that will then call that view instead. Okay, so that covers the static typing. So let's now get fancy, and we're going to generate emails that have both HTML and text content. Now, it's quite likely that if you're generating an email, say, for like a newsletter, or it's got some other, needs some rich formatting, then you're going to want to generate an HTML newsletter. That's great, you can do that. If you have a single view for your email which has angle brackets in it, then post all the text that as HTML and send it as HTML. However, it's often a good idea to actually have a fallback. So if the person reading your email, if their email reader is only able to show text, then you don't want them seeing a bunch of angle brackets. So it's good to send along a text representation as well. So before showing how Postal does that, let's see how you would do that the old-fashioned way before Postal. Just to give you an idea, that's not fun. Okay, so without using Postal, we would have to create our SMTP client, a message, that's fine, and the headers as before. And we're going to create a body, all the text in there, what a mess. And then we're going to add it to this message alternative views collection rather than setting the body directly. So we have to write that line of code there. But we also want to do the HTML. So there we go, a bunch of angle brackets and things, and a similar line to add it to the alternative views. And finally, we can send the message. So this is really not the sort of code you want to have in your actions. You might go away with just this kind of code, but once you start doing this stuff as well, you've lost it. It's also interesting to note that going from this, where we set the body, we then have to change the code to then start using alternative views explicitly instead. So we'd have to change this code from the old stuff to this stuff. So Postal has a nice solution to this. Hide that code away. Well, so this is the Postal action method. And I hope you notice it's practically the same as what we've been doing all along. We haven't had to change anything here. We're just simply assigning our data and calling send. The only difference I've done is I'm calling a different view. So let's take a look at that view. So this view here is all headers. There's no body. And the reason for that is we've got this special pseudo header here called views. So now when Postal parses this, the output of this view, it's going to see this views header, and then it understands that to mean that there's multiple alternative representations of the email. So it's going to go out and find a view for text and a view for HTML. Let's take a look at the text. So the text view, is just the text we had before. But instead of having all the headers, we just have this single header, which specifies the content type. If you've dealt with HTML multi-part messages before, then you understand that you need to specify the content types of the different parts so that the email reader knows what they are and what to do with them. So our text one, we specify a text plane, and we put our body in, and we can still use our model. And similarly for the HTML, we have our HTML now, and our content type is set to text HTML. And we can do nice things like specify styles and do links as links, all the other HTML stuff you'd want to do. So just to go over that again, you make a view with just headers, with just the name of the view. And then the convention is that when you have text, it's going to look for a file that's called, in this case, fancy.txt.cshtml. And the same for the HTML when you've got fancy.html.cshtml there. And that makes for a really nice sort of experience in terms of taking code and evolving it over time. So let's say in the first iteration of your application, you're just sending plain text emails just to get something done. And then later on, your designers come out with some nice designs for HTML. Well, your code doesn't have to change. Your code is just the same. All you're doing is adding some new views out in the views folder. So you can even drop those in, and at runtime, they're just going to be picked up and just go. So let's run that example and see that working. Send the message. Now we're going to open that again in our email reader. And now you can see we've got a bit of formatting appearing here. And our link is actually a link. Also, another tip is if you haven't got a mail reader like this installed, you can grab Notepad and drop them into Notepad. And you can see what's actually being generated under the covers for you. So you can see .NET's generating all the headers, so it's the ones we specified and some extra ones as well. And then the various bits of content which .NET Base 64 encodes for us. So let's just check the questions, see how people are... Okay, so a couple of questions. One about sending asynchronously, so I'm getting onto that in a moment. Also, someone's asking why not use @section_text and @section_html to delineate text in HTML. Okay, so that's someone asking. So instead of using separate files for each possible representation, just use a single file. And then to use something like this. That's possible. Yeah, Postal won't do this at the moment, but it's the kind of thing which we could look into adding. I'm not sure how it would work in terms of this being anything you wanted. You might have to hard code. I forget if Razor lets you dynamically specify sections or not. In a way, I think I prefer to keep the file separate, but the code's open source, so feel free to fork it and see what it looks like, and if it looks good we can always merge it back in. Oh, I should also note this comment that I handily left here. When I was trying the code out earlier, I had HTML and text the other way around. If you do that, it still works, but it generates the HTML email with a text attachment rather than HTML with a text fallback. So I was a bit confused, but it turns out just switching these around then makes it work properly. So I'm not particularly sure, I haven't looked into it properly yet, but for now, just make sure you do text, then HTML. Let's just check for more questions. Someone's asked, is Spark supported? Any MVC view engine should be supported. I've only tested it with ASPX and Razor, but I'm not doing anything particularly special. I'm just saying, give me a view with this name. And so as long as Spark works like that, which I'm sure it does, then that should work fine. But again, we need to test that to be sure. And if it doesn't work, we can again fork it and fix it for me. Another question is, why do we have to specify the content type at the top of the file if the convention is to use email name? I probably should enhance the convention so that if you have a view that's something .txt or .html, then it sets the content type. Yes, that would be a good enhancement. That's a good point. We can certainly look at adding that. And Jay has asked, I know this is MVC Conf, but would Postal work in a non-web app scenario? Okay, so I get this question a lot. People seem to really want to send email from non-web apps, which is not something I ever do myself, but fair enough. It's kind of a yes and no response to the question about if you can send them outside of a web context. The main problem, the reason you can't, is the view engine stuff is very tied to the HTTP stack and the whole of ASP.NET. So it kind of falls over as soon as you step outside of a web context, really. That said, Postal itself isn't that tied to the web stack. It actually creates its own HTTP context. It can actually run on a background thread. So, an example where this might be useful is within the context of your web app, you can still spin up different threads that aren't web request threads and use those threads to send email. So that's what often happens in my kind of apps is I try to avoid sending email directly within a controller action, but instead I'll have some kind of thread which is listening for messages and sending emails, and that still works because then it still understands where to find the views. Haven't really looked much more into working outside of a web app completely, so from say a console application. Postal has some quite a few extension points. Let's just have a look at them. The email service, which is what's used to send email, it has this constructor here, which you can pass in some implementations of a parser and a view render and things. Therefore, you could create an email service and pass in your own versions of these your own implementations of these interfaces, and that would give you a bit more flexibility then. But it's something we'd have to look into. Not really tried it properly. Okay, someone else has asked, they've wanted to know where they can download the test project I'm using in the presentation. Yep, you can download the project already. It's all on GitHub. If you go to the GitHub repository for Postal, there's a branch on here called MVC Conf Demo. So you can go and grab that, and that's got basically this project that I'm working on here. So you can take the examples and pull them apart and have a go. Okay, so that's again saying about how Spark allows you to send email without any HTTP context or any web stack. Yeah, it's something we'd have to look at. I don't use Spark myself, so if you do manage to get it working, please let me know because it'd be good to make Postal a bit more wide-ranging and step outside the web context constraints if possible. Okay, so let's just pick back up with the steps here. So we've covered testing, dynamic, and HTML mails. So let's now take a look at how to do attachments. Let's say that the user can fill in this form saying what's wrong, but they can also then upload a file, hopefully a screenshot, to describe what's gone wrong, because they usually are completely incapable of describing anything useful in the box anyway. That's what I find in my experience. So let's just choose a file. And now it's generated an email. we see that we've got our picture that we included has been attached, and the rest of the content is there as before. So to make that happen, we have this action method here. As before, we're creating an email and setting some data on it. But the additions are, I've added this extra parameter here to grab the uploaded file. And also then, to add the attachment, we simply call attach on the email. And this attachment object is the standard one you get from system.mail. So we just say new attachment and give it the stream and the name. And there's a number of overloads for this constructor. You can pass in whatever you've got. And then also this demo here is showing how to do asynchronous sending. So at its simplest, you can just do that. You can just say email.sendAsync, and it will use the SMTP client's asynchronous methods to then send the email asynchronously. If you're using the email service instead of email directly, then you'll see that the email service also has this send async, so you can send asynchronously using the email service. Now there's a slight departure from the way the SMTP client works here, in that I'm actually exposing the asynchronous operation as a task. When you use SMTP client, usually, if you want to send something asynchronously, you have code like this. So it would create the client, there's then an event which you can listen to. So when the sending is completed, you can then dispose it and do something else. I don't think that this pattern works so well within a web context where you've got this kind of more short-lived connections, and I just don't like this code particularly. So in Postal, I wrap up this mess and expose it as a simple task instead. So here we're using the threading tasks, the task parallel library, to create a task. So when we call send async, the operation starts happening, and we get passed back a task that we can then use to say wait for when it's finished. So we can, you can wait there. Not that you probably do that, but let's say you had a bunch of other tasks as well, like one talking to the database. Then at the end you could wait on all of them, pass in all your things that are running. So I think the task provides a much, much nicer compositional model, so that's why I decided to make Postal use them instead. But it would be interesting to get some feedback from people on what they think about that API change. Because I think it's nice, but there might be some unforeseen consequences of using it. There's a question in the IRC room saying, what thread pool does the send async task run on? Good question. It uses whatever .NET uses. So under the covers, send async is calling the send async on the SMTP client. So it's whatever .NET does, which I hope is something good. You'd have to dig into Reflektor probably to see what's actually going on, but I imagine it's grabbing a thread pool thread and sending. And this, the task is really just a wrapper around that, so there's not really any threads associated with the task. So that's attachments and asynchronous. Let's just do a couple of quick tips and then we can get on to some more questions. Okay, first quick tip. When generating a URL in your view, at least in your web page views, you often don't mind that they're only relative to the website. So for example, let's just look at an example. When you do something like this in a web page view, this will generate a URL that's just slash and then something. So it looks like, well, there's one. Actually, no. Okay, so it generates URLs that look like this. Now these work fine because your web browser already knows that you're on a website, and so we'll just go to that part of the website. But when you're actually in an email, there is no website, there is no context, so this won't work. You can create a link like that, but then when the user clicks it, it just won't go anywhere. So what you have to do is you have to make MVC generate the full URL for you. We've actually seen an example of that here. So I'm in my help request view, and we're generating a URL for the support ticket. The key thing to do is to specify HTTP or HTTPS if it's a secure in the action URL here, and then that when it generates will generate the full URL including the HTTP, and when the user clicks it will open up in the default browser and work as expected. But it's just something to watch out for. I've seen someone working on another project to actually create a kind of mirror set of helpers which will generate this for you without having to specify HTTP. So in the future that could be something good to add to Postal, just to catch that little edge case there. Okay, next quick tip is implicit email headers. We saw earlier how Postal makes you put headers up here in your view, which is fine, it works, but sometimes you end up writing code which is going to be in your controller. Your pass, you might say something like email.to, and then name at somewhere, and then in your view you end up saying model.to, and I think that's a bit redundant having to specify it once here and then remember to specify it here as well. So what you can do instead is get rid of that line from your view, have no header for two, and only have this one. And what Postal is going to do is when it's building up the email to send, it knows to look for certain properties. So it knows to look for things like to and from, subject, PCC, CC, etc. So it knows to look for those common email headers, and if it finds them, it's just going to set them on the mail message itself. If in your view you then specify something different, you can override them. That's just a handy little shortcut, really, which I think saves on typing. Finally, a biggie, Postal is built against MVC3. It's pretty much exclusively what I'm using at the moment, so that's what I'm using at the moment. A lot of people are still using MVC2, fair enough. I've created a separate branch for MVC2. So on GitHub you can go to the Postal project, switch to the MVC2 backport branch, and that will give you a version of the code which is built against MVC2. There were a few subtle changes I had to make for that. There were some differences in the way the internal massive HTTP context worked that I had to work around. But this version here will work against MVC2. All right, so I've breezed through a load of features. So let's just wrap up and see if we've got any more questions I can answer. So first of all, probably most importantly, you can use Postal right now. You can get it via NuGet. It's probably the quickest way. The homepage for Postal's here. Then most importantly, the GitHub repository is here. So I'd love people to fork the code, have a poke around with it, see if they can fix bugs or improve it or add features, and then send me a pull request. I'm always happy to have a look at them and to improve the code. And there's a wiki that goes into some documentation as well. And you can always contact me by any of the usual kind of places. So if you have any questions, drop them into the IRC window, or I'll just have a quick look in this live meeting set as well. So Stuart's asking, is there a way to optimize the connections to the destination mail servers? Okay, it sounds advanced. Every time an email is sent, an open connection is made. If you sort by domain, you can print. Oh, okay. So I think Stuart's asking, so when you send an email, So the actual domain of the address that it's going to, you're saying you might want to sort by those addresses and send them in order. Well, Postal only deals with generating one email and sending it. So if you wanted to send multiple emails, you have to create multiple emails in Postal and then send them each individually, just like you would do with the mail message and SMTP client. So of course you could sort the email objects. So if you put them in some kind of dictionary or array and then sorted them, they would then go out in the right order. If I haven't understood your question, maybe drop me a line later and we can try and see if we can answer your question properly. And Ayub's asking something here about an input stream. Sometimes input stream method of attachment has empty attachments when you send multiple email with the same attachment. Not sure I quite understand your question there, Ayub. I know there are issues with the ownership of disposable objects. So when you create a mail message and give it attachments and say those attachments come from some file streams and things, the streams you pass in are actually then owned by the mail message. So if you've disposed of your file stream before the mail has been sent, then you're going to run into problems with like empty streams and disposed streams. So you have to make sure that when you are creating an attachment, as we do here, that you don't dispose of this stream. In fact, this sample might run into problems if the request ended before the sending had finished, then I guess this stream might die, in which case you probably want to create a memory stream and copy the input stream into the memory stream and then pass that to your attachment. And you have to then trust that your attachment is then going to be disposed with the email when that's disposed. It's a bit fiddly, and it kind of, I can see people being caught out by that. So you have to test it quite carefully, I guess. And just the main thing to understand is that the streams you pass in seem to be owned then by the attachment, which isn't the usual way things work. But they have to work in like that here, because for send asynchronously to work. So Brian KB is asking, is there a code or project that provides an email viewer that you can use in browser in an admin for previewing whatever function? That would be very useful, Brian. You'll note that emails are basically text. So I would imagine it wouldn't be too tricky to write an admin screen which could look at a directory of emails and parse them and decode them and show them to you. That'd be something that'd be pretty useful. Wouldn't necessarily be a part of Postal, but it'd be a handy tool that I'd like to have if you want to make one. Okay, so let's see. Another question here, a question from Paul, asking, are delivery methods other than SMTP client supported, such as the Amazon Simple Email Service? Good question. Yes, in theory. What you'd have to do to use something other than the built-in email sending is, if I look in here, okay, so at the moment, not easily, because the email service kind of takes a dependency on SMTP client, which I don't believe you can inherit from. I believe it's a sealed. Let me just check that for you. Oh no. You can't override SMTP client send methods, which is not particularly useful. So at the minute with Postal, you're stuck with using SMTP client, but it wouldn't be too hard to broaden Postal's scope a little bit. And rather than have an explicit dependency on SMTP client, would be to take a dependency on some kind of other interface which you could then use to send email and provide a different implementation. Want to use that, to use Amazon, as you say, would be a good option. So that would be a good thing to add, which we can look at doing. Okay, Jeff S. is asking if we need to schedule thousands of emails to be sent, say triggered from a database, what would be the best way? Yeah, sending thousands of emails is probably one of those things where it sort of becomes a whole new sort of problem. Yeah, for a start, you wouldn't be sending thousands of emails from your controller action method, I would hope, because that would take forever. One way I would maybe look at doing it is use Postal. You could use Postal to generate the emails. And then there's actually a handy method on iEmail service called Create Mail Message. So you can call this, and actually this answers the previous question as well. You can call Create Mail Message, pass it an email, and it returns back a mail message. So it basically does everything in terms of rendering the view and parsing it, but doesn't send it. So you could get back as many of these as you wanted, and you can then send them in some other way, batch them up, do whatever you need to do. So that actually answers the past two previous questions, I hope. Someone saying, please don't help spammers. Yes, quite. Yeah, please don't. And if you are sending thousands of emails, there are services like, well, there are third-party services out there which are much more set up for sending emails. Sending email at that scale becomes a lot more involved, and there's special things you have to do to your server to make sure it doesn't get marked as on the blacklist and things. I was asking about handling exceptions. If you're sending synchronously, then it's as simple as putting a try catch around send and catching whatever you wanted to catch there. Forget the exact sort of exceptions, you have to look at the documentation and what exceptions can get thrown, but that's basically what you would have to do there is catch that. If you're sending asynchronously, then you can use the task to see what exceptions are thrown. So once the task is finished, you'll see that on task there are some properties like cancelled, completed, faulted, and an exception property. So you can use that to actually see what exceptions were thrown when sending. Stuart asks, does the NuGet installer install the RTM version of MVC3 as well? No, I don't think NuGet installs MVC3. As much as I wish the MVC stuff did come as a NuGet package, it doesn't, I don't think. So you have to have MVC already installed. Yeah, if you try to use Postal in a project without MVC3, I think it just your code won't compile because it'll say it's missing MVC3. And like I said, if you're still stuck on MVC2, then you can go and get the backported version of Postal as well. Okay, so any more questions at all? Okay, no, and I shall wrap up. So again, feel free to contact me if you've got any further questions, and more importantly, try out the code, give it a go, and let me know what you think. Okay, great. Thanks for tuning in.